Well, the song service went just great with what we're going to be talking about this morning. I want you to be finding 2 Timothy chapter 1. How many of you are old enough to remember an advice columnist by the name of Ann Landers? Anybody remember Annie? Yeah, quite a few of you do. Do you know what the number one thing is that people wrote into Ann Landers about? Fear. You see, people are afraid of losing their wealth, or losing their health, or losing their friends, or losing their family. They're afraid of what their enemies are going to be able to do to them. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of this. They're afraid of that. Well, I want to talk to you today not only about how to handle your fear, but how to overcome fear. And I'm not going to tell you what Ann Landers has to say about it. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God has to say about living your life free from the bondage of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Paul is writing to young Timothy. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Now notice this next phrase. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Let me start by saying that all fear is not bad. Some fear is actually from God himself. Back in 1933, our president at the time, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had a famous speech, and he said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Well, those words sound good, and they rallied some folks at the time, but the problem is what he said's wrong. I would never teach my children that there's nothing to fear but fear itself, as long as there are rattlesnakes and drunken drivers and rapists and muggers and DFW drivers. Fear is a protective mechanism that God has put into all of us to help protect and preserve us. Jesus actually taught us to fear. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, he said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him," there it is, "which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." If you're facing a future without God, you've got plenty to fear. But some people say, "Well, I just don't think you ought to frighten people into religion." Okay, so are you going to love them into hell then? I'd a whole lot rather frighten people into heaven than love them into hell. Bible teaches us about the fear of the Lord. That's a good fear. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." In other words, you don't have a lick of sense unless you fear the Lord. But the fear of the Lord doesn't mean you cringe before God. The Bible word for fear means reverence or awe. It means you have a holy respect for God. An electrician is not going to live very long if he doesn't have a healthy fear of electricity. Now, that doesn't mean that he goes to work and trembles every time he starts his work. That's not it at all. It just means he knows what's in those wires. And he has a respect for that power. There's no competition between fearing God and loving God. As a matter of fact, the man who fears God the most loves him the best. The fear of the Lord is love on its knees. Our text says that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. You know, fear is a phobia. The dictionary lists about 700 different kinds of phobias. There's acrophobia, fear of high places. Claustrophobia, fear of closed-in spaces. Then there's some people have agoraphobia, they're afraid of open spaces. And then there's emetophobia, the fear of getting sick. And I suppose the worst of all is phobophobia, fear of fear. That's where people are constantly afraid because they're afraid they're going to be afraid. None of those are productive fears. They're negative fears. These phobias are fairly harmless fears, but there are fears that are destructive and disabling and debilitating. The Bible speaks of the bondage of fear. So, first of all, I want you to think about the destructive power of the spirit of fear. First of all, under that heading, there is fear and forgetfulness. In 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul says, "Wherefore I put thee in," what's the next word? "Remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Timothy was a very gifted young man. He was unusually anointed to do the work of God, but he failed to use that anointing. Why? He had forgotten it. So Paul says, "I put thee in remembrance." In other words, you've forgotten what God's done for you and what God wants to do through you, Timothy. The thing that had caused Timothy to forget his giftedness is fear. So in verse 7, Paul says, God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. When you focus on fear, it takes all the blue out of your skies. You forget who you are and what you can do. Fear causes you to forget all your blessings in God. Some of you are immensely gifted, but there's something you're afraid of, and your fear has caused you to forget all of the blessings of God in your life, and you've focused on your fear rather than on trusting the Lord. Timothy really didn't have that much to be afraid of. Now, if anybody had cause to fear, it was Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul was in prison when he wrote this, possibly waiting to be executed. Look at 2 Timothy 1:8. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner." He was a prisoner in the metaphorical sense, in that he was a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was also a prisoner in the literal sense, in that he was actually in prison, as I said, perhaps waiting to be executed. But Paul's not quaking or trembling about that. In verse 12, he says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I've believed, and persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." Paul says, "I know whose I am. I know what I've committed unto the Lord. And yes, I'm in prison." That's all right. Paul hadn't forgotten who God was. And if you're afraid today, it's because you've forgotten who God is and what he's done for you. There's not only fear and forgetfulness, though. There's also fear and failure. Verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." Timothy had failed to share Christ, and he'd also failed to stand up for his mentor, the Apostle Paul. Paul was in prison, and Timothy was afraid that if he started testifying like Paul did, it might happen to him too. So fear had shut his mouth and paralyzed him. Many of you fail to share your faith because you've listened to that sinister minister of fear, the devil himself, and that fear has paralyzed you no matter how gifted you are. You know, there was a man whose farm was failing. His wife needed an operation. The mortgage was due on the farm. The payment was due on the tractor. He he was in a bad way financially, and the bank wouldn't loan him any money. And so, out of options, he decided that the only thing left for him to do was rob a bank. Well, he kept walking around the block trying to get up his courage to go in and rob this bank. He had it all figured out in his mind how he was going to do it. He had a bag to give to the teller to put the money in. He had a gun so he could frighten the teller, and he had a little speech memorized. Well, when he walks into the bank, he's scared to death. He gets all confused, and rather than giving the teller the bag, he shoves the gun to her and points the bag at her and says, "Don't stick with me. This is a mess up." See, fear will do that to you. Many people have gifts that are buried and forgotten because they're afraid. Matthew chapter 25, there's where Jesus gave the parable of the talents. He gives the men in the story various numbers of talents, but there was one man, and he says, he took his talent and hid it in the ground. Why? Because he was afraid. Now, I think most of you would probably like to be soul winners, but the thing that keeps you from witnessing is fear. You're so afraid of failing that you fail. Have you ever been driving and you're behind someone who's afraid that the light's going to turn red, and by the time they get there, it has? You see, they just project their fears and fail. It's like Job, who said, "The thing that I feared the most has come upon me." You don't have to be weak to be afraid either. You know, sometimes strong people are afraid. Julius Caesar, did you know Julius Caesar was afraid of thunder? Every time it thunder and lightning, he'd start trembling. He'd want to get underground in a cave somewhere. Peter the Great, the Tsar of Russia, was scared to death of bridges. And any time he'd put his foot on a bridge, he'd just start shivering and quaking. Fear keeps people from being what they ought to be. Has fear ever neutralized you? And some of you have great business sense, but you know what? You're never going to succeed because of fear. The Bible speaks of those who are in bondage because of fear. Not only is there fear and forgetfulness, which causes us to forget who we are in Christ, not only is there fear and failure, which causes us to fail in what we could do and ought to do, but thirdly, there's fear and frailty. Do you know that fear can actually sicken you? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 23, Paul tells Timothy, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine oft infirmities." Timothy was a sickly young man. Was he afraid because he was sickly? I think it's more reasonable to assume that he was sickly because he was afraid. His fearful disposition literally made him sick. There was a famous doctor who had something to say at a round table discussion about psychosomatic medicine. He was with a bunch of other doctors. He said, in spite of what they say, 90% of the chronic patients who are seeing today's physicians have a common problem. Their problem did not start with a cough or a chest pain or so on. In 90% of the cases, their problem began with fear. An arthritic condition, for example, can be greatly inflamed because of worry and fear. Jesus said that one of the marks of the last days is that men's hearts would begin to fail them for fear. Fear in your life is like sand in machinery. But faith is like oil. So, that being said, we've talked about the destructive power of the spirit of fear. Let's now talk about the delivering power of the spirit of faith. Paul doesn't just tell us about the problem, he offers us a solution. In verse 7, he says, God hadn't given us the spirit of fear, and then he says, but of power and love and of a sound mind. If you get those three things down into your heart and mind, you can have a future that is free from the bondage of fear. Now, there's a difference between legitimate fear and the bondage of fear. Legitimate fear is like, you know, when there's a thunderstorm and there's lightning flashing and the rain's pouring down, but eventually the clouds roll back and the sun shines again. But then the spirit of fear is like a constant fog that you live in. That's negative. That's unreasonable. That kind of fear doesn't help you to be what you ought to be. But God gives us these three things that will help us be free from the bondage of fear. First, God has endued us with power. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Before Jesus went back to heaven, he said in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's the promise of God. Holy Spirit is the power of God. If you have a foe that's bigger than you are, you're afraid. But when you realize that you have a greater strength than your foe, there's no need for you to be afraid. For example, you might have been afraid to walk home from school because of some bully that picked on you. I have a preacher friend who said, a bully used to follow me home from school every day and make me very afraid. Finally, I had enough of it, and I turned around and I told her, you leave me alone. In all seriousness, if you had a bully following you home from school every day, but your daddy walked home from school with you every day, you wouldn't be afraid. Greater is he who's with you than the person who's picking on you, right? The Bible says, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. If you have the spirit of fear, then you've forgotten the gift that's in you. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. God has given us the spirit of power. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see, the fear of God removes all other fears. The man who kneels before God can stand before any man. Are you remembering the source of your power? Do you remember how great God really is? What we need to do is glimpse at our problems, but gaze at our God. Fear is what made King Saul a coward, while fear made young David a hero. not only has God given us the spirit of power, God has enriched us with the spirit of love. Well, how does love deal with fear? Well, over in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Now, that doesn't mean that if you love God perfectly, you won't be afraid. Folks, the only thing you'll ever do perfectly is sin. But it does mean that you don't have to be afraid because God is the one who loves you perfectly. When you see God's mighty power on the one hand and God's mighty love on the other hand, fear just melts away. God endues us with power. He enriches us with love. Romans 8:28. It's my son's favorite verse. It's inscribed on his tombstone. Says, and we know that all things work together for good, those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Thirdly, God enlightens us with a sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Now, a sound mind means discipline or self-control or a discerning spirit. Many of the things we fear aren't based in reality. We fear because the deceiver has made us afraid. Some of you will remember Zig Ziglar. Well, Zig used to say that F-E-A-R is false evidence appearing real. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursues. Think about that. Have you ever been out at night and gotten the idea that somebody was following you? God has given us a sound mind. That means we can look at our fears in the clear light of God's Word. We can look past what's happening to us at the moment and realize that God is always ultimately victorious. That's what Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's a sound mind. Paul wasn't blown away by all the things the devil was doing. I don't know if you ever heard the story, but there was a Japanese soldier. In 1944, during World War II, he was stationed on the island of Guam. Now, when the tide of the war began to turn and he saw that the Japanese were going to lose, he deserted the Japanese army and began to hole up in a cave in the jungles of Guam. For 28 years, this soldier lived in that cave. He only came out at night so he wouldn't be discovered. He ate frogs and lizards and rats, and sometimes he could catch some shrimp out in the bay, whatever he could get his hands on, fruit. And for 28 years he lived in fear, not knowing that the war was over. We were back here in the United States driving Toyotas and watching Sonys, and he's still holed up in the cave. He's living in fear because he doesn't know the war's over. Hey, friend, listen to me real close. The war's over, and Jesus has won. And he has offered amnesty and forgiveness, but the devil doesn't want you to know that. A lot of people don't come to God because they're afraid of God. Listen, the war's over. Jesus is the victor. Your sin's been paid for. Have you ever committed everything to the Lord like Paul did? He said, I know whom I've believed and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Friend, you don't have to be afraid. Just trust Jesus. That doesn't mean that everything in your life is going to be all honey and no bees. Doesn't mean you're not ever going to get sick, regardless what the joy boys on TV try to tell you. Matter of fact, some of your problems may even intensify after you come to Jesus. See, you're born on the devil's side. You're born with a sinful nature. And as long as you have that sinful nature, as long as you are lost, as long as you haven't committed your life to Jesus, you belong to Satan. He doesn't have to mess with you. He's already got you. But when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, now you're the enemy of Satan. Because God is the enemy of Satan. And Jesus said, it's not you that hates me. But you're my hands and feet on this earth right now. And so if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Yeah, you're going to have trouble. You have problems. Paul was in prison. He said, I'm not worried about that. God's victorious. What's the worst thing they can do? Chop off my head? That's eventually what happened to Paul. All they did was usher him immediately into the presence of God. He's never going to have to worry about anything again. So what do you got to fear? Worst thing to do, kill you, and that, they're doing you a favor. Right? If you ever committed it all to the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, our musicians are going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. And if you've never fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus and just given it all to him, if you've been afraid, you don't have to be afraid anymore. Just drop that fear up here at the altar. Let Jesus have it. He can handle it a lot better than you can. You believe that? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right. This means yes. Yeah, okay. All right. What are we going to sing, Gary?
156.
156. I want you to find that. Stand to your feet. This is our invitation hymn. It's God's invitation to your heart this morning to do whatever it is he's calling you to do. So if you need to come and lay something at the altar, if you need to come give your life to Jesus, whatever it is, you just come, and he'll bless you for it. Let's sing. This series in getting a handle on your emotions. And now I'm beginning to work on a new series called Back to the Basics. So you kind of start a new year off. It's sometimes, I remember Coach Lombardi after a really bad defeat one time. He didn't say anything to the guys after the game. He came back to the locker room Monday. Start a new week. He reached into a canvas bag, pulled out a football, held it in front of the players, and said, "This is a football." What he's saying is, we're going to go back to the basics. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. Gary?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for that you are a God who knows our fears, and you're a God who has not given us a spirit of fear. So, Lord, help us to be able to give you these fears that we have from time to time to you. And we just pray that, and trust that you will take care of that, and you'll give us a spirit of boldness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated 1 second and let Craig give us a couple of announcements.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed worship today. March 25th, we have a WOW luncheon, Rose Garden Tea Room. For information, contact Kim Ford. March 26th, we'll have breakfast in the fellowship hall before church. It'll be 8 to 9:30. Come eat breakfast and... it's 8:30 to 9:30. Sorry. Come in, fellowship, have breakfast with us. This is a fundraiser for the youth camp. April 30th, we'll have a lunch for youth camp. It's a Mexican lunch. So this will be awesome. Great fundraisers going on, getting the kids' camp money down, and it'll be here before you know it. Also, would like to have a special prayer for the Hagman family. Lisa's father went home to be with the Lord, and they'll be traveling to Indiana for the funeral. So please be in prayer for their traveling mercies and things. And so that's all I have today.
Thank you, Craig. Okay, let's stand and dismiss as we sing the Bond of Love together.